Here's your fair value brief for Tuesday, August 4, 2026. Bonds are calling the Fed's bluff. The gap between 10-year and 3-month Treasury yields just tightened to 0.79%. It's narrowest since early 2025, and that's the market's way of saying rate cuts could come by early 2027, a full year ahead of the Fed's own timeline. Why does this matter? Because mortgages, savings accounts, and even your paycheck hinge on who wins this standoff. Meanwhile, Amazon's AI-fueled surge is splitting the tech world in two. AWS revenue jumped 37% from last year to $42.23 billion, sending Amazon shares up 15% in a single day. But while Amazon, Microsoft, and Alphabet rode the AI wave higher, Apple and Micron reminded us not everyone's benefiting. Both fell over 6%. The divide is clear. AI providers are thriving, while AI suppliers are still waiting for their payday. And then there's oil. Brent crude dropped 4% to $86.10 on talk of Strait of Hormuz negotiations. But don't be fooled by the headline. Only 11 tankers passed through the waterway on Sunday, down from 63 in July. The real tension? Rising shipping insurance costs. They're climbing fast, and that's the kind of detail that tells you traders aren't betting on a quick fix. Now, to the markets. Markets are caught in a tug-of-war between AI-driven stock optimism and bond market caution, and Tuesday's trading made that split impossible to ignore. Amazon stole the show with a 15% jump, its biggest one-day gain since 2022, after AWS revenue hit $42.23 billion, up 37% from last year. The message is clear. AI spending isn't just hype. It's turning into real profit. Microsoft and Alphabet joined the party, rising 3 and 6.7%, respectively. But here's the catch. This rally is painfully narrow. The Nasdaq 100's gains are being driven by just 5 names: Amazon, Microsoft, Alphabet, Meta, and Nvidia. The Russell 2000? Down 0.5%. The Dow? Barely in the green. Investors are going all in on a handful of AI leaders and ignoring almost everything else. Bonds, though, are singing a different tune. The spread between the 10-year and 3-month Treasury yields, the market's most reliable recession warning, just shrunk to 0.79%, its lowest since early 2025. Translation? Traders are betting the Fed is moving too slow and rate cuts could arrive by early 2027. But Fed Chair Kevin Warsh and company aren't backing down. They're still insisting no cuts are coming before late 2027. Something's got to give. Either the bond market is right and stocks are in for a rude awakening, or the Fed holds firm and AI's run continues. Oil, as usual, is adding another layer of chaos. Even with OPEC boosting output by 188,000 barrels a day, Brent crude still fell 4% on hopes for a Strait of Hormuz deal. But let's be real, no deal is done yet. Tanker traffic through the Strait is way down, and those rising insurance costs? That's the market's way of saying it doesn't trust a quick resolution. If talks fall apart, Brent could snap back to $90, and that would force the Fed to rethink its entire playbook. Here's the core clash. Right now, we've got AI-driven stock bulls on one side, bond investors pricing in slower growth on the other, and oil's geopolitical wild card thrown into the mix. Only one side is going to win this fight. Here's what's really moving the needle today: the showdown between the Fed and the bond market. The 10-year/3-month Treasury spread just hit 0.79%. That might sound like a random number, but it's actually flashed a warning before every U.S. recession since 1968. Here's why it matters more than Amazon's earnings or oil's latest dip. This spread measures the difference between the 10-year Treasury yield, which is sitting at 4.75%, and the 3-month yield at 3.96%. When that gap shrinks, it means investors are betting on rate cuts sooner rather than later, usually because they see economic weakness on the horizon. And right now, it's flashing bright red. But the Fed isn't blinking. After July's meeting, Chair Kevin Warsh doubled down on plans to keep rates between 3.5% and 3.75% until late 2027. And here's the kicker. 3 Fed officials, Cleveland's Beth Hammack, Minneapolis's Neil Kashkari, and Dallas's Lori Logan, actually pushed for an immediate quarter-point hike. That's the most divided the Fed's been since 2018. Meanwhile, bond markets are pricing in a 65% chance of a cut by September 2027. So who's right? The answer will shape your finances next year. If the bond market wins, we're looking at mortgage rates dropping under 6%. Right now, they're at 6.66, but if this spread tightens below 0.7%, the 10-year yield could fall, making homes more affordable. A weaker U.S. dollar. The dollar index is at 100.02 right now, but a rate cut could push it down toward 98. That's good for U.S. exporters, but bad for multinationals like Apple, which makes 60% of its revenue overseas. Small cap and value stocks finally getting their moment. These have lagged in 2026, but historically, they rally when rates fall. But if the Fed stands its ground, brace for higher borrowing costs for longer. Companies already struggling, like Tesla, down 26% this year, and startups will feel even more pressure. A stronger dollar, which would squeeze U.S. exporters and emerging markets. More stress in commercial real estate. Office vacancies are at record highs, and refinancing gets a lot harder when rates stay elevated. And then there's oil, the wild card in all of this. Brent crude has jumped 20% this month, which only adds to the Fed's inflation worries. If prices stay high, the Fed's more likely to hold its line. But if a Strait of Hormuz deal actually happens and Brent stays low, it fell 4% yesterday, inflation could ease, giving the Fed room to cut. Here's what to watch today. That 10-year/3-month spread. If it drops below 0.7%, recession warnings get a lot louder. Oil prices. Under $85 eases inflation pressure. Above 90 keeps the Fed on hold. Fed speak. Any shift in Warsh's tone could move markets fast. This isn't just some abstract economic debate. It's about whether your mortgage, your 401k, and your job face headwinds or tailwinds in 2027. And right now, bonds are betting on headwinds. Let's zoom out for the big picture. The S&P 500 rose 1.5% yesterday, but don't let that headline fool you. The real action is under the surface. Amazon's 15% surge dominated the news, but this rally is dangerously concentrated. The NASDAQ 100's gains are coming from just 5 stocks: Amazon, Microsoft, Alphabet, Meta, and Nvidia. The Russell 2000? Down 0.5%. The Dow? Barely positive. This isn't a broad market rally. It's a bet on a handful of AI winners. Bonds, on the other hand, told a completely different story. The 10-year Treasury yield held at 4.75%, and the 30-year sat at 5.28%, a 19-year high. Normally, strong earnings like Amazon's would send investors into stocks and push bond yields lower. Instead, yields rose because bonds are pricing in sticky inflation and higher rates for longer. July's Fed minutes showed a 9-3 vote to hold rates, with 3 officials actually wanting a hike, the most divided the Fed's been since 2018. That keeps the pressure on mortgage rates, which are at 6.66%, and corporate borrowing costs. Oil's geopolitical risk premium took a breather, for now. Brent crude dropped 4% to $86.10 on hopes for a Strait of Hormuz deal, though Tehran denied any talks with Washington, and tanker traffic remained low. The real measure here? Rising insurance costs for ships in the area. Markets hope for a deal, but they're not counting on it. So what does this mean for you? If you're looking to buy a home, keep an eye on that 10-year Treasury yield. If the spread keeps narrowing, mortgage rates could dip below 6% by early 2027. For stock investors, the gap between megacap tech and everything else is a red flag. The S&P 500's top 10 stocks now make up 35% of the index, levels we haven't seen since the dot-com bubble. Crypto holders, listen up. Without a catalyst like the Clarity Act, expect more sideways trading. Bitcoin stuck at $63,500, and Coinbase stock just fell another 10.6%. Around the world, the action's just as intense. Japan's yen stayed weak, despite last week's U.S.-Japan intervention to prop it up. The dollar-yen pair is still near 157.9, a 38-year low for the yen. The problem? Japan's yield gap with the U.S. The Bank of Japan is keeping rates near zero while the Fed holds steady between 3.5 and 3.75%. That makes the yen a cheap currency for carry trades, borrowing in yen to invest in higher-yielding dollars. Until the Bank of Japan hikes rates, and so far they've resisted, the yen stays under pressure. In the Middle East, oil's geopolitical premium pulled back, but the risks haven't gone away. Brent crude fell 4% to $86.10 on hopes for a Strait of Hormuz deal, but Tehran denied any talks, and tanker traffic stayed low. The real test is in the insurance costs for ships passing through Hormuz. If those premiums start to drop, the market actually believes in progress. If not, expect more volatility. Europe's energy crisis is getting worse. Natural gas prices are spiking as droughts drain hydropower and low river levels, like the Rhine, block coal shipments. Germany's gas storage is only 70% full, well below the 85% target. If winter's cold, rationing could be back on the table. And China's tech crackdown just got more aggressive. Samsung and SK Hynix shares fell after reports that Beijing is building its own domestic AI supply chain, from chips to cloud services. That's a direct threat to Korean memory makers, which get 30% of their revenue from China. Here's what's on the global watch list. New Zealand's jobs report comes out tonight. If unemployment hits the expected 5.4%, the Reserve Bank of New Zealand could cut rates, weakening the Kiwi and giving risk assets a boost. Canada's employment data drops Friday. Soft numbers might push the Bank of Canada toward easing, which would pressure the loonie. U.S. Iran talks. If there's real progress on the Strait of Hormuz, Brent crude could fall below $80. If talks fail, it could spike above 90. Let's talk companies, because a few big movers are telling the real story. Amazon's AWS growth proves AI isn't just hype. It's boosting margins, at least for the cloud leaders. Amazon shares jumped 15% to $271.58 after AWS revenue grew 37% year-over-year to $42.23 billion, with margins expanding from 29% to 32%. Microsoft and Alphabet followed suit, rising 3% and 6.7%, respectively. But here's the catch. The laggards, companies still waiting for AI to pay off, are struggling. Apple fell 7% to $308.91, and Micron dropped 6% to $823.03. Their AI investments, like chips and memory, just aren't profitable yet. Coinbase's slump continued. The stock fell another 10.6% to $146.26, extending its monthly decline to 13%. Bitcoin's holding at $63,500, but the real issue is trading volume. Coinbase 24-hour volume dropped from $4.5 billion a month ago to just $1.4 billion. Without a catalyst like the Clarity Act, crypto stocks are stuck in neutral. UPS is signaling softer consumer spending. The stock's down 9% over the past week to $104.22, and that's a clear sign demand is slowing. FedEx and XPO Logistics are feeling it too, but UPS, with its deep ties to e-commerce, is the canary in the coal mine for weaker consumption. BP's making its priorities clear, oil over renewables. Profits rose 33% thanks to higher crude prices and Middle East trading gains, but the company's selling its Archaea biogas unit. The message? Oil still rules, and renewables are taking a back seat, for now. JP Morgan's betting big on housing. The bank plans to finance 1 million affordable housing units and lend to 200,000 first-time buyers by 2035 with a $750 billion commitment. That's a signal banks see housing as the next major opportunity. And Anduril, the Peter Thiel-backed defense firm, is making moves in drone boat technology. They're in talks to build unmanned surface vessels at Baltimore's Sparrows Point shipyard, and with Strait of Hormuz tensions driving demand for drone boats, Anduril's positioning itself as a leader in the space. From Washington, the Fed's internal divide is growing. The minutes from July's meeting revealed a serious split. Three officials, Cleveland Fed's Beth Hammack, Minneapolis Fed's Neil Kashkari, and Dallas Fed's Lori Logan, argued for an immediate 25 basis point rate hike. That's the most divided the Fed's been since 2018. Chair Kevin Warsh reaffirmed the 2% inflation target, but bond markets aren't buying it. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 4.75% and the 30-year at 5.28%, both near multi-year highs. On the regulatory front, the SEC's cracking down on insider trading. Texas law firm Jackson Walker agreed to a $15 million settlement over claims it failed to disclose a judge's ties to a firm partner. The big question now, will the Fed back down? Bonds are pricing in a 65% chance of a rate cut by September 2027. If inflation cools, Friday's jobs report could be the tipping point. If not, this standoff drags on, with household finances caught in the middle. Let's look under the hood, because the bond market's message is getting louder. That 10-year/3-month Treasury spread dropping to 0.79%? That's the market saying the Fed is behind the curve. Here's how the dominoes could fall. First, bonds are signaling the Fed's timeline is off. A spread this tight means traders expect rate cuts by early 2027, a full year before the Fed's planning. Historically, spreads below 0.8% precede recessions by 6 to 9 months. Next, Fed expectations move the U.S. dollar. If cuts come early, the dollar weakens. The dollar index is at 100.02 now, but a sub 0.70% spread could push it toward 98. Then there's oil. A weaker dollar usually lifts oil prices, but right now, geopolitics are in the driver's seat. Brent crude's at $86.10, down 4% on Iran deal hopes. If the Strait of Hormuz reopens, oil could drop to $80. If talks fail, it could spike above 90. Oil prices feed into inflation, which circles back to the federal $80 oil eases inflation pressure. 90 plus keeps the Fed hawkish. Right now, markets are betting on $80 oil, which is why the 10-year yield is declining. And finally, the Fed's move, or lack thereof, dictates where stocks go. Rate cuts would boost growth stocks like Amazon and Microsoft. No cuts. Value stocks, banks, energy, went out. But here's the bigger risk. This isn't just about recession fears. Credit markets are on the line, too. Investment-grade spreads are at 0.8%, and high-yield spreads are at 2.84%, both near historic lows. That's letting corporations borrow cheaply. If the Fed cuts, that window could slam shut, squeezing highly leveraged firms. Watch for confirmation. If the spread drops below 0.7%, recession calls get louder. Above 0.9%, bonds might have overreacted. Here's something worth understanding today, how indexes actually work. You've heard the S&P 500 rose today. But what does that really mean? Today's moves in Amazon, Apple, and others all come down to how these indexes are built, and why a few giants dominate your 401k. Take Amazon's 15% leap. That single move added $400 billion to its market value and lifted the S&P 500 by roughly 0.5%. Why? Because the S&P 500 is market cap weighted. Bigger companies have more influence. Amazon, the fourth largest U.S. stock, carries far more weight than smaller firms. Meanwhile, Apple, the largest, is down 7% this week, pulling the index lower. The S&P 500 isn't the market. It's a calculation where a few titans call the shots. Here's how it works. Market cap equals share price times shares outstanding. Amazon's market cap is about $2.7 trillion. Apple's is $3.1 trillion. Together, they make up roughly 12% of the S&P 500. The S&P 500 tracks the 500 largest U.S. companies, weighted by size. The top 10 stocks now account for 35% of the index, the highest concentration since the dot-com era. The Dow Jones works differently. It's price-weighted. So a $1 move in a $500 stock like United Health has a bigger impact than a $1 move in a $50 stock like Walgreens. That makes the Dow less representative than the S&P. The NASDAQ composite includes all 3,000-plus NASDAQ-listed stocks and is heavily tilted toward tech. That's why it's more volatile. A few big tech swings, like Nvidia's 3% gain today, can move the whole index. Why does this matter to you? Your 401k likely follows the S&P 500. That means your retirement savings rise and fall with Apple, Microsoft, and Amazon, not the average company. When you hear the market was up, it depends on the index. The S&P 500, Dow, and NASDAQ often move differently because they're structured differently. Small caps are struggling. The Russell 2000 fell 0.5% today and is down 2.6% this month. That's the real economy. Regional banks, manufacturers, retailers, while mega-cap tech soars. Here's the sharper edge. The S&P 500's top-heavy makeup creates hidden risks. If Apple or Microsoft stumble, the whole index suffers. even if 490 other companies are doing fine. Diversifying beyond the S&P into small caps, international stocks, or bonds isn't just smart. It's necessary. Quick note. Remember how we talked about exchanges like the NYSE and NASDAQ, where stocks trade? The S&P 500 and Dow aren't exchanges. They're indexes or baskets of stocks tracking a market segment. The NASDAQ is both an exchange and an index, the NASDAQ composite. Yesterday, we were waiting on New Zealand's employment change report, but the data hasn't been released yet. We'll analyze it tomorrow. Here's tomorrow's setup. New Zealand's unemployment rate is due tonight, with a forecast of 5.4%, up from 5.3%. Question, if unemployment rises more than expected, what happens to the New Zealand dollar and why? Hint, think about interest rate differences and carry trades. We'll break it down tomorrow. Here's what to watch this week. Tonight, we've got New Zealand's employment change for the second quarter, forecast at 0.1%, down from 0.2% last time. Weak data could push the Reserve Bank of New Zealand to cut rates sooner, and that would pressure the Kiwi. Also tonight, New Zealand's unemployment rate, expected to tick up to 5.4% from 5.3%. If it rises more than expected, rate cut bets will heat up, weakening the NZD. Friday brings Canada's employment change, forecast at 14,800, down from 18,200 last month. A miss here could push the US dollar above 1.42 against the loonie. The big one, US non-farm payrolls on Friday, forecast at 85,000, up from 57,000 in June. This report drives Fed policy. Strong numbers keep the Fed hawkish. Weak data brings rate cuts into view. We'll also get the US unemployment rate on Friday, expected to stay at 4.2%. Any uptick stokes recession fears. And US average hourly earnings, forecast to rise 0.3% month over month. Wage growth fuels inflation, which keeps the Fed on hold. Finally, Monday brings the 3-year Treasury note auction. Demand here will signal whether bond investors are betting on Fed rate cuts. That's your brief for today. We'll be back tomorrow with the answers on New Zealand's jobs report and what it means for your portfolio.